Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, why did Jewish people hate? The rift between Jews and Samaritans began when the Assyrians defeated Samaria and took many Samaritans into captivity. Those who were left behind intermarried with non-Jewish people, which changed their ethnic identity. Later, the Babylonians defeated Judea and took many Jewish people into captivity. Unlike the Samaritans, the Jewish people maintained their identity, and they did not intermarry even in Babylon. When they returned to Judea, they rebuilt the temple. The Samaritans offered to help, but were told, no thank you, because they were of mixed marriages. So they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim, which fueled the debate on where someone should worship God. Most Jews would not eat or drink anything that had been handled by a Samaritan because they would become ritually impure. If it's surprising that a Jew would ask a Samaritan for a drink of water, it's even more surprising that a man would ask this of a woman. It was not proper for a man, especially a rabbi, to talk to any woman in public, let alone a Samaritan. For these two people to meet would have been unthinkable and shocking. Last week, we heard about Nicodemus. This story of the Samaritan woman comes right after the story of Nicodemus. The difference between Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman is striking. The difference between the conversations of these two people with Jesus is even more striking. And John does this on purpose. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's an insider. He's educated, a leader of the Jews. He has wealth and prestige. He's a man. And he has a name. He comes to Jesus by night. The Samaritan is a woman and an outsider. She has no name. She is uneducated. She meets Jesus at noon in full daylight. Nicodemus is a somebody. This woman is a nobody. Her gender, her religion, her social standing, interpersonal life distance her from Jesus and her community. People will try to avoid this woman and ignore her whenever possible. Now, sometimes we get a little preoccupied with the woman's sins of several husbands and Jesus' offer of forgiveness, but this text says nothing of any sin she committed and Jesus doesn't forgive her. Jesus' question to her husband is not a comment on her marital status because she wouldn't have had a control over that anyway. Like Nicodemus, her words are meant to move her to understand who Jesus was. Unlike Nicodemus, this conversation is successful and she sees him as a prophet. Moreover, sin in the Gospel of John is not a moral failure from someone's behavior. Sin is unbelief, the inability or unwillingness to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and God. Unlike Nicodemus, she's never seen Jesus' signs. She's not heard he's a teacher who has come from God. The Jesus she meets at Jacob's well is a thirsty Jewish stranger who dares ask her for a drink. But as she talks with Jesus, the Samaritan woman slowly moves from unbelief to belief, from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, from ignorance to knowledge, from misunderstanding to understanding. When she comes to the startling recognition, she's talking to the Messiah, she drops her water jug and runs to the village with the news. Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. We can almost hear her say, come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did and loved me anyway. These last four words aren't spoken, but they're implicit, because she drops her jug and runs off with joy. For Jesus to know her past and still love her, well, that's as unbelievable news as anything she's ever heard. The man who told her everything she did and loved her anyway is what saves her life. When we recite the Lord's Prayer and ask God to forgive our sins, we're asking for the same life-giving love from Jesus. We're asking Jesus to stand with us just as he stood with the Samaritan woman, just as he stands with the other. Jesus didn't just stand with that other. Jesus stands with our other, our church's other. Who are the Samaritans among us? Evangelical, urban people, rural people, conservative, liberal, the poor, the rich, the dying, the lonely, the nobodies, the people that we ignore. This gospel is good news for anyone who has ever felt like they were a nobody, because Jesus does not turn away from this woman, just the opposite. He engages her in conversation. He takes her seriously, and then he spends several days in her village. This woman, her community, and their welfare matter to Jesus, whether nobodies or not, and that is good news. It's also challenging news because it reminds us that people who are nobodies to us are somebodies in the eyes of Jesus. Like it or not, when we draw lines between ourselves and other people, Jesus is always on the other side of the line. Now we think Jesus is going to pick the Nicodemuses of this world. But time and time again, Jesus picks the least expected person to share the good news. It's not Nicodemus, but this woman who is radically transformed. She begins as an outsider and becomes an apostle sent by Jesus himself. She is an inspiration for other women, for people who feel like nobodies, for newcomers to the faith, and for people that think they have a past that they need to escape from. Jesus welcomes everyone into the household of faith, even the least likely, and maybe even you and me, because we are all in some way like the woman at the well. So, dear church, come to this table of God's grace, then go and share the good news. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.